Hello, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is the teacher, and I'm your host, Ali. Well, in this program, The Teacher, we try to answer some of the major questions about Islamic teachings. Please stay with us.
You lift me up high, you spread my wings and fly me to the sky. I feel so alive, it's like my soul thrives in your light. But how I wish you'd be here with me all year around. Ramadan.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to today's program. Brothers and sisters, today we are going to be discussing a topic that you probably have heard in your lifetime, people discussing whether Bismillah, this verse of Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, whether this powerful verse, right? Whether this is part of every chapter. That is to say that every chapter begins with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim as a first verse, or no. Okay, there are two schools of thoughts in there at a high level, at a macro level. The first school of thought, it says that yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is where every chapter of the Quran, it starts and then follows. Okay, except for Surah At-Tawbah. Okay. That's an exception. And then the second group, it says that no, the Surah Al-Hamd, which is the Surah Fatiha, the first chapter of the Quran, that is the only chapter that opens up with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim as its first verse. After that, no other chapter has Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So these are the two schools of thoughts within Islam, apparently, and this is what we have heard, right? Now, let's inspect this entire notion, that how it's approached by the scholars of Islam. Amongst the Shiite scholars, there exists no difference of opinion. When it comes to Shia scholars, there's no difference of opinion in the fact that Bismillah is part of Surah Al-Hamd and every chapter of Noble Quran, except Surah Tawbah. Okay, Surah Tawbah is an exception, and there are reasons why that exception exists. Now, there are different arguments that we have seen in different discussions, and the first argument is that the presence of Bismillah in the beginning of all chapters in the text of the Quran is itself proof of this issue, since we do not know that, since we do know that No alteration has been done to Quran. No text has been added to Quran, and no text has been removed from Quran. It is intact, right? And since, like this is one of the arguments, since the first verse in all the Qurans that are out there today, it starts with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So if Muslims were so particular in not adding anything to Quran, this wouldn't have gotten added whenever it got quote-unquote added, right? So it existed in all times as the first verse, from the time of the Prophet till today. The second argument is that as far as, and this is like the first argument was given on behalf of Shias. The second argument, let's see what Sunni brothers and their scholars, they say about the issue. As far as Sunnis are concerned, the author of Tafsir al-Manar, he has presented a comprehensive collection of their views, that is the views of the Sunni scholars, which are as follows. I'm going to have to read a few referential things for you to make it clear for you that what we're saying on the behalf of Sunni brothers is not self-made or anything. Okay, so bear with me. There exists a debate amongst the scholars as to whether Bismillah at the start of every chapter is a part of the chapter or not. The ancient scholar from Mecca, jurisprudents, and the Quran reciters alike, For instance, among them, Ibn Kathir, you have heard his name, those from Kufa, amongst them the reciters Asim and Kasai. Some of the companions and the followers of Medina, Thawri and Ahmed, in one of his two opinions, and so too Shafi'i and his followers, are all of the belief that it is part of the chapter. What? Bismillah is the part of every chapter, in the brackets, except for Surah Tawbah. And similarly, the 12 Imam Shiites, right, their scholars, and according to them, the companions of Ali ibn Abi Talib, Ibn Abbas, Abdullah bin Umar, and Abu Huraira, some scholars from the followers such as Sa'id bin Jubair, Atta Zuhri, and Ibn al-Mubarak, all have opted for this opinion. So brothers and sisters, what we have said in the first argument or in the first school of thought, it has also been endorsed by some others. He then adds their most important proof, this historian that I'm reading from, he then adds their most important proof is that the companions and those who came after them, despite emphasizing that the Quran ought to be purified from everything which is not part of it, for which reason they never mentioned Ameen at the end of the recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha. They never did in those times. They were unanimous in reciting Bismillah at the start of every chapter except Surah Barat. Okay? He then goes on to state that Malik, the follower of Abu Hanifa, and some others considered Bismillah to be a separate verse, which had been revealed to indicate the beginning of the chapter and serve as a separator between them. So, brothers and sisters, from what we have mentioned above, it can be concluded that a definite majority of Ahlus Sunnah, okay, the Sunni brothers, are of the belief that Bismillah is a part of every chapter. Shias, it's unanimous, it's consistent, it's constant, you know, we know that. But we're saying, even in Ahlus Sunnah, a definite majority of Ahlus Sunnah, they also believe that Bismillah is the part of every chapter of Quran. With a short break, we're going to come back with two or three more arguments for you, and we will quickly go over them to explain this phenomena. Thank you. Stay with us.
The Holy Quran, in the words of Professor Gary Miller.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome. I would suggest, first of all, that to call the Quran amazing is something that isn't done simply by Muslims who may have an appreciation for the Quran and are very pleased with it, but the book has been called amazing by non-Muslims. Non-Muslims, in fact, people who are very filled with dislike for Islam, have still been surprised at the Quran. They've been amazed at what it has to say. Now again, my point here is that the Quran may be accurate about a lot of things, but accuracy does not mean that a book is a revelation. What it means is you have a problem. It means you should find some explanation for where did this information come from. But an accurate book is not necessarily a divine book. The telephone book is probably accurate. It doesn't mean it's a revelation. But the point is to work the other direction. If you find a mistake, then you disqualify something. And that's what the Quran encourages. There was a man who came to me after a lecture in South Africa last year. And he was very angry about some of the things I had to say. He said, I'm going home tonight and I'm going to find a mistake in the Quran. I said, congratulations, that's the most intelligent thing you've said. That's what you want to tell somebody to do, because the book offers the same challenge. Do you think this is not what it says it is? Then try this. It's supposed to make you look. It's not a book that is delivered as though you are commanded to believe it. Now read it. It's supposed to work the other way. You read it and you come to believe it because you can't disqualify it. It earns your respect because you cannot find a disqualification. Now again, I have to stress, just because you can't explain something doesn't mean that you can take the first explanation somebody offers. The same goes for the Quran. If you find something remarkable and surprising in there, just because you can't explain it doesn't mean that you have to believe it's a revelation. That's your business. But it shows the difficulty that people have if they say, I don't believe it. The Quran points out that these people have an obligation to find an explanation then. In fact, it mentions one man in an ayah, which I have always seen mistranslated into English at least. It talks about a man who heard the truth explained to him, and then it says why he was guilty. It says he got up and left and he didn't check on what he heard. Because you're guilty. If you hear something but you don't check to make sure it's true, you're guilty. That's a crime. You're supposed to process the information and decide which is the garbage to throw out, which is the good to keep. But you can't just let it come in and rattle around in your head. You're supposed to put it into the proper category. Is it true? Is it false? Is it still speculation? Maybe true, maybe false, but I don't know. Put it in these categories. The real certainty, that is the confidence that comes in the Quran, comes from a different approach. The certainty in acceptance of the Quran comes from exhausting the alternatives. To explain it this way, the book says it is a revelation. If you don't believe that, what is it? You have to come up with some explanation. You have a book. It's paper and ink. Where did it come from? It says it's a revelation. If it isn't, then where did it come from?
You came to me in that hour of need, when I was so lost, so lonely. You came to me, took my breath away, showed me the right way, the way to lead. You filled my heart with love, showed me the light above. Now all I want is to be with you. You are my one true love, taught me to never judge. Now all I want is to be with you.
Welcome back to The Teacher. Today in this program, we are discussing whether Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is an official verse of every chapter of Quran except for Surah Tawbah, or it is not. Okay, we have presented the views of Shias, Shia scholars and Shia school of thought, and also Sunni school of thought before we went on break. And we said that the Shias are unanimous about this issue that, yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is the first verse of Quran, of every chapter of Quran, except for Surah At-Tawbah, which is also called Surah Bara'at. And then the Sunnis, there's an overwhelming majority that they believe the same thing, okay? Now we're going to inspect three more arguments in this regard and see if we clear this issue up for you or not. So the third argument is the conduct of Muslims, okay? It's important, brothers and sisters, if you study Islamic literature, you know, this thing holds a lot of value. Unlike what many seem to think out there. The conduct of Muslims had always been to recite Bismillah at the start of every chapter while reciting the Quran. And it has been established by the means of successive narrations that the noble prophet too used to recite it. How is it possible, brothers and sisters, that the noble prophet and the other Muslims would recite something that was not part of Quran and also persevere in this act of theirs? It's just simply not possible. The next fourth argument that we're going to present here is the meaning and the contents of Bismillah. Okay, what does Bismillah mean? Okay, the meaning and contents of Bismillah indicate that it is for stating or initiating a task, and not that it possesses a meaning that is independent. It means that, you know, beginning in the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, right? So, beginning what? It's not just an independent verse that nothing follows after that, right? The contents of the verse itself, the phrase itself, it tells us that, okay, we're going to begin something. So, wouldn't you say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim before beginning the chapter of reciting, like, Quran? Why not? Doesn't make sense. In reality, this has intense rigidity and bias that in order to prop up their opinion, they present forth every conceivable possibility and consider a verse like Bismillah, whose meaning screams out aloud that it is the beginning of that which is to come later, to be an independent verse. They call it an independent verse. It doesn't make sense, brothers and sisters. This independent verse, totally unrelated with what is before and after it, this proposition itself does not make any logical sense, because the words of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, they scream for themselves that now we're going to start doing something, start reciting something. So it makes all the sense in the world for this verse to be the first word, the first verse of every chapter of Quran. Okay, now the only plausible objection that we've been able to see, which had some weight, is, and you know, I'm saying objection on the behalf of those who are opponents of this school of thought, that it is the first verse, right? That objection is somewhat interesting. They say that, the opponents, they say that when Surah Al-Hamd, when the verses of the chapters of the Noble Quran are computed, right? There's a computation that's done on them. With the exception of Surah Al-Hamd, okay, the first chapter, Bismillah is usually not taken into account. Rather, the verse which follows it is regarded as the first verse. So do you understand? So for instance, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So this Bismillah is the first verse, and then Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen is the second verse in case of first chapter, which Sunnis and Shias both agree. The question is on the rest of the chapters. They say that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is not the first verse, rather, Inna a'atainaka al-kawthar. That is the first verse. Okay, so now the argument to this, and this is when it comes to computation, the argument and the response to this is that it is clearly provided by Fakhr Razi, who happens to be a Sunni. He provided this answer in his commentary called Tafsir al-Kabir, which he says, there is no harm if Bismillah is the first verse by itself in Surah Al-Hamd, and a part of first verse in the other chapters of the Quran. Okay, so what does this mean? He proposes that there's no harm if Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is an independent, standalone first verse of Surah Al-Hamd, and then for rest of the chapters, it is part of the first verse. So for instance, he says that there's no harm if we considered Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Inna a'atainaka al-kawthar. This would, for example, be a complete verse. Complete first verse. Or, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Qul huwallahu ahad. So he's saying that don't count this as two separate verses. This is one verse. Okay? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Qul huwallahu ahad. So he says, it's okay if we consider it to be one verse. Okay, so today we have inspected the five arguments and the two schools of thoughts on the topic of is Bismillah the part of the first chapter of Quran or every chapter of Quran? Thank you for listening. Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed today's episode of The Teacher. Don't forget to log on to our website at www.parstoday.com. We leave you in Allah's care and bye.
حبيب التائبين يا شهر الصائمين وروحا للمعاني تقيم الوحي فينا حبيب التائبين يا شهر الصائمين وروحا للمعاني تقيم الوحي فينا محارب اتصال برب العالمين.